Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are going to start today a totally new subject, but a very important subject in the corporate world, that is mergers and acquisitions. Let us directly come to chapter 1 on mergers and acquisition to understand some basic concepts on merger. So chapter 1 will be telling you about what merger is. What is the scenario of merger? What are the various phases of merger? How mergers started in India? So that you get a complete idea about the basic concepts of merger, and that will be the good way to start to learn more concepts about mergers and acquisition in total. So what are the learning objectives of this chapter? This chapter will help you understand the history and evolution of merger, the different types of mergers, and the development of mergers in India. So, three important points over here: evolution, different types, and development in India. In this chapter, as I told you before, you will learn different concepts of merger, right from the definition, to the history, to the forms, to the classification, to the different types of mergers like the horizontal, vertical, cogeneric, concentric, conglomerate, accretive, dilutive, and then we see the merger differentiation. So, all in all, the basic concepts and the different types of mergers will be clear with the chapter 1. So let's begin with what is the definition of merger. Merger has been defined as combining of two or more companies, generally by offering the stockholders of one company securities in the acquiring company in exchange for the surrender of the stock. So when two companies combine, then obviously each member of the company is required to get some benefit. So what benefit is coming in the form is in the form of the stockholders of one company securities in the acquiring company in exchange for the surrender of stock. So they get a stock in the new company that the existing company's shareholders will get stock in the merged entity. This is further explained as basically when two or more companies become one, this decision is usually mutually between two firms. So when we see the different types of mergers, we'll also understand the different strategies, the different mindset behind why the merger happens. Other definitions of merger include a combination of two or more business into one business. So basic requirement of a merger would be two companies come together, then that two company gets merged into one, and another company with a new strategies, tactics, vision, mission, etc. will actually start working together. When we talk about merger, it is not just some concept. It is a regulated concept. So when we talk about regulation, the number one regulation in India is the Companies Act 2013. The merger concept is based on Companies Act 2013, wherein a merger is a combination of two or more entities into one, the desired effect being not just the accumulation of assets and liabilities of the distinct entities, but the organization of such entity into one business. So that is a beauty. Both come together and they work together with a common entity, bringing out the strengths together, and definitely the benefits accrue to the merged entity. Generally, we hear the word amalgamation. So then the question comes, is merger and amalgamation the same? So what is amalgamation? In India, the laws use the term amalgamation for merger, especially the Income Tax Act 1961 defines amalgamation as the merger of two or more companies with another, or the merger of two or more companies to form a new company in such a way that all the assets and liabilities of the amalgamating company becomes the asset and liability of the amalgamated company. So when we talk in terms of Income Tax Act, amalgamation also refers to merger of two or more companies, and it talks more about the bringing together of the assets and liabilities for the amalgamated company. We have seen recent mergers in India, especially the IDFC Bank and the Capital First to become the IDFC First Bank. The merger of Dena Bank and Vijaya Bank with Bank of Baroda, there were a few other banks also to make a big banking entity. PVR and Inox merged to become the largest entertainment company in India. So we have seen mergers in the recent past in India. Just like the Companies Act, Income Tax Act, we also have the accounting standards of the ICAI, specifically the accounting standard 14 of the Institute of the Chartered Accountants of India, which states an amalgamation must satisfy certain conditions. Condition number one, after amalgamation, all the assets and liabilities of the transferor, that is the acquired company, becomes the asset and liability of the transferee company, that is the acquiring company. Number two, the shareholders holding not less than 90% of the face value of the equity shares of the transferor company become the equity shareholders of the transferee company by virtue of the amalgamation. Number three point, the consideration for the amalgamation receivable by those equity shareholders of the transferor company who agree to become the equity shareholders of the transferee company is discharged by the transferee company wholly by the issue of equity shares in the transferee company, except that cash must be paid in respect of any fractional shares. So the consideration part is also very clear under accounting standard 14. Point number four, the business of the transferor company is intended to be carried on after the amalgamation by the transferee company. So the clarity of continuity of the business is also established. No adjustment is intended to be made to the book values of the assets and liabilities of the transferor company when they are incorporated in the financial statements of the transferee company, except to ensure uniformity of the accounting policies. So these 5 points very beautifully mention details about the merger or amalgamation, as you say, in accounting standard 14. Now the next question comes, when is a merger said to have taken place? A merger is said to have taken place when owners of separate, roughly equal sized firm pool their interest in a single firm. Once the merger occurs, one company survives and the other loses its identity. The surviving firm takes on the assets and liabilities of the selling firm. The surviving company either retains its identity or it is rechristened. And finally, the mergers are used to increase the long-term profitability by the expansion of the operations. So this is a basic objective: increase long-term profitability by expansion of operations, for which two entities come together, they look in their strengths, they pull in their strengths, and they become a expanded entity so that they can survive, they can face the competition, they can have a larger market share and expand their operations. So this is where step by step merger takes place, with the role played by both the acquirer and the acquiring company, and the clarity on what happens to the assets and liabilities and the continuity of the business, as well as the identity which is retained or it could be rechristened. Mergers can be likened to a marriage. Merger takes place with the consent of two companies merging with each other. Just like in marriage, a marriage happens with the consent of two partners, a merger also happens with the consent of two companies. Merger can be likened to a marriage as it requires the consent of two parties. The company buying the other company is known as the merged or the surviving company, and the one merging with it is known as the merging entity. So this clarity between two parties is there, and since the consent is required by both the parties, merger can be likened to a marriage. Now let us see some interesting factors on mergers. When one studies the history of mergers, some interesting factors emerge. That is, mergers takes place when the economy goes through a sustained period of growth. This is because it reflects the upward trend in the business, expectation of further growth is there. The merger movement happens at the same time as a development in the business environment. Mergers happen when companies are responsive to new investments and profit opportunities arising out of the changes in the economic conditions and the technological innovations. Mergers happen to withstand the perceived threats and survive the competition. Mergers also occur for the economies of scale. Next interesting factor is mergers result in better resource allocation, reallocation processes, and better and more productive resource utilization. In each of the merger waves, which we will see after some slides, mistakes have been repeated and there have been failures. Mergers and acquisitions are now a global phenomenon. In recent years, there has been an increase of acquirers from the emerging markets. So these are the interesting factors about mergers. Now, as I said in the previous slide, mergers are characterized by different phases, which we can also call it as waves. So let us understand about the merger waves. Merger waves result from a combination of economic, regulatory, and technological shocks. Economic shocks deal with the economic expansion and encourage and pushes the companies to expand to meet the growing demand. Regulatory shocks occur when regulatory barriers are gotten rid of, and the technological shocks relate to the technological changes that not only change the existing industries but also create the new ones. So these are the three important factors which are responsible for wave creation: the economic shocks, the regulatory shocks, and the technological shocks. If we classify the different phases of merger, we can classify them into five different waves. Starting from the first wave, 1897 to 1904. The second wave, 1916 to 1929. The third wave, 1965 to 1969. The fourth wave, 1984 to 1989. And finally, the fifth wave, which is currently actually ongoing, which has started from the 1992 onwards. So let us see all these five waves, what are their features. The first wave, starting from 1897 up to 1904, this merger waves began in 1883 following the Depression ending that year. The merger wave came out because of the economic expansion occurring at that time. The mergers were mostly all the horizontal mergers. We will look at these different types of mergers. What is a horizontal merger? What is a vertical merger? After some slides, most probably after we finish the waves. The industry consolidation resulted in near monopolistic companies, and the wave was at its zenith between 1898 and 1904. So these are the important features of the first wave between 1897 and 1904. What happened? It affected all the major mining and manufacturing industries. There were more mergers in certain industries such as the primary metals, the food products, the petroleum products, the chemicals, the transportation equipment, the fabricated metal products, the machinery, and the bituminous coal. So these were the different industries which were impacted in the first wave. The first $1 billion mega merger was between the US Steel and Carnegie, took place during this period. So these are some important points related with the first wave. Ending of the first merger wave. Why did it happen? During the first merger wave, there were several takeover fights, some of which were very violent. This led to several antitrust legislations and tougher securities laws. The 1904 decision of the Supreme Court in the Northern Securities case in March of 1904 is credited by many for ending the merger wave. This decision paved the way for the antitrust laws, and this regulated the mergers. As several monopolies came into existence, the Sherman Act was enacted to check the monopolies. So because of certain happenings, there was a requirement of legislation, and the Supreme Court in the Northern Securities case actually brought some direction to the merger, and this decision paved the way for the antitrust laws, and this regulated the mergers, and this is how the first merger actually started fading out, first merger wave. Now, the second wave came into existence since 1916. It went up to 1929. The second wave began with the upturn in the business activity. During the second wave of mergers, there was a consolidation of several industries. Oligopolistic industry structure emerged. Several vertical mergers occurred, but very few monopolies. Disproportionate number of mergers in certain areas, primary metals, petroleum products, food products, chemicals, transportation equipments, these were prominent during the second wave. Several Fortune 500 corporations such as IBM, General Motors, Union Carbide came into existence during the second wave, and to regulate the corporate structure and voting rights, several laws were enacted in the second wave. There was something called as the intermittent period. After the economy recovered, the Second World War took place, industry and business took a backseat as the nations geared for the war. After the war, the emphasis was on getting back to normalcy and building the economy. Various incentives were given to small firms. So that is the reason this period is known as the intermittent period. Later, these large companies began to take over the small firms in order to get tax relief. Although there were mergers, there was no real concentration of economic power during the intermittent period. And then started the third wave from 1965 onwards. It went up to 1969. The third wave was a period of economic prosperity, and there were several mergers. Smaller firms targeted larger firms for acquisition, and many of these mergers resulted in diversified conglomerates, companies that had diverse activities. Some of the more important conglomerates that came into existence were the ITT and the Litton Industries. During the third wave, thousands of mergers took place in the United States and led to the disappearance of over 25,000 companies. Investment bankers did not finance most of the mergers during this period. Many of the acquisitions that took place during this period were followed by poor financial performance. In the United States, newer laws continued to be enacted, and some of the older laws were amended to make expansions more difficult. The laws made horizontal and vertical mergers more difficult, and as a consequence, it was felt that the only way to expand was by forming the conglomerates. Then came the end of the third wave. The third wave ended when, after 14 years of increasing quarterly returns, Litton Industries announced a decline. The market turned hostile to conglomerates, and the share prices were hammering down. The antitrust lobby was vociferous, and their agitation led to the Tax Reform Act, which was aimed at curbing the manipulating accounting practices. Acquisitions to debt financing was discouraged. And then came the 1970s, following the recession in 1974-75, the US economy entered a long period of expansion during which there were several mergers and acquisitions. This period is characterized by hostile takeovers. There was a fall in the number of mergers, though. The interesting development that took place where, number one, banks began giving large amounts to finance takeovers. Investment bankers and professional consultants began advising on the faceting mergers and acquisition. In short, debt was used to finance mergers. So this was speciality of the 1970s. Then entered the fourth wave. The fourth wave was of mega mergers. It started with 1984. There were many mergers, most of them hostile. Offensive and defensive strategies became common. The corporate raider emerged, who then, after taking over the company, stripped it of his assets, making huge profits. Investment banker came into the forefront, advising and facilitating takeovers. The easy availability of funds even helped small firms to acquire large, well-established firms. During this period, there were many non-US companies that took over the US companies. These mergers mainly were in the oil and gas, drugs, medical equipments, banking and petroleum industry. So the fourth wave saw big, huge movements in mergers. And then entered the fifth wave, which is continuing till present. This fifth wave started in 1992. Major economic changes in many countries happened. There were large expansions, mega mergers, and consolidations. Some of these included the Office Products USA, the Fortress Group, and the US Delivery Systems. Several government organizations were privatized. Acquisition of private business and consolidation of really smaller competitors in the emerging markets. The takeover of the Arcelor by the Mittal and the takeover of the Chorus Group by the Tatas are some examples of the fifth wave. In Europe, a large number of national organizations were targeted and the governments interceded to make this difficult. So this is fifth wave, which started in 1992, is still continuing, and we could see a lot of mergers happening cross borders within India also. Let us look at history of merger and acquisition in India. It's also very interesting, like the global mergers and acquisition. Immediately after independence, there was a wave of acquisition. Several British managements wishing to exit sold their companies to Indian entrepreneurs. After that, a very small percentage of business in the country used to come together mostly into a friendly acquisition with a negotiated deal. The key factor contributing to fewer companies involving in the merger is the regulatory and the prohibitory provisions of the MRP Act 1969. According to this act, a company or a firm has to follow a pressurized and burdensome procedure to get the approval of mergers and acquisitions. There was a crucial phase during the 80s. There was a spate of takeovers and acquisitions, some of them hostile. Manu Chhabria led the takeover of Shah Wallis and Dunlop. There was also a bid by Swaraj Paul to take over DCM Limited and Ascorts. Many non-resident Indians tried to take control over various companies through their stock exchange portfolio. Many of these attempts were foiled by the dexterous management, thwarting the attempts by getting the support of the majority shareholders. However, the situation changed after the liberalization. Apart from issuing licenses more freely, the government encouraged Indian companies to merge and also acquire companies abroad. Mergers and acquisitions occurring in most sectors of the economy, the most prominent being the finance, the pharmaceuticals, the banking, and the fast-moving consumer goods. The volume of deals grew to over $100 billion in 2007. Activity was at a standstill in 2008 on account of the global meltdown. As the world economies improved, mergers and acquisition also began again. Large Indian companies going through a phase of growth and exploring growth potential in foreign markets took interest in mergers. In addition, international companies targeting Indian companies for growth and expansion also peeped into the merger propositions in India. Some of the major factors resulting in this sudden growth of mergers and acquisition deal in India include the favorable government policies, access of capital flow, economic stability, corporate investments, and the dynamic attitude of the Indian companies. So this was a total shift in the attitude of mergers and acquisition after liberalization. And that gave rise to recent mergers like the Capital First and IDFC Bank, Dena Bank, Vijaya Bank merged with Bank of Baroda, Panda Homes acquired Agro Dutch Industries, SEC took over Encore Cement and Additive, Dalmia Cement acquired Odisha Cement, Elvis Capital acquired Anagram Capital, ICICI did a reverse merger with ICICI Bank, as did IDBI Bank with IDBI. So Tata Chemicals took over. Also, we have an example of Tata Chemicals took over the British soil. So these are the examples of the recent mergers that happened. There are some more, that is Tata Motor acquired the Jaguar and the Land Rover. Reliance Power merged with Reliance Natural Resources. Airtel acquired Zen in Africa. Reverse merger between HDFC and HDFC Bank. already the steps have taken place, will take place in 2023. It is believed that at present, India has now emerged as one of the top countries entering into the mergers and acquisitions. Now, friends, let us look at different forms of merger. When we talk about different forms of mergers, there are two forms. That is merger through absorption and merger through consolidation. Although different in some aspects, both business processes have plenty of benefits. Mergers are great for companies to increase their products' market value and eliminate the competition. Similarly, consolidations are advantageous for companies to streamline the business processes and reduce the operational expenses. Now let us look at the first type, mergers through absorption. Mergers by absorption can be notified when a company transfers all the assets, the rights, and the obligations to another company in return for compensation in the form of shares in the acquiring company. It is a legal dissolution of the company's activities. The benefits of merger by absorption are measured in terms of growth and cost synergies. So this is one basic type of merger which happens through absorption. Another thing to be noted in mergers through absorption is that transaction simplifies the relationship between two entities which have merged to strengthen their competitive advantage. When Tata Fertilizers merged with Tata Chemicals, the acquired company Tata Fertilizers ceased to exist. The asset and liability of Tata Fertilizers were transferred to Tata Chemicals. So this is a beautiful example of merger through absorption. Now let us look at merger through consolidation. In a merger through consolidation, two or more companies merge to form a new company. So two companies coming together to form a new company, that is a mark of merger through consolidation. This is also known as amalgamation. This generally happens when several similar smaller businesses combine to form a new larger legal entity. In these mergers, all the companies are legally dissolved and a new company is created. So this is a specific difference between merger through absorption and merger through consolidation. A merger through consolidation, a totally new company emerges, whereas in a merger through absorption, one company gets amalgamated into another and one of them continue to exist. In a merger through consolidation, the acquired company transfers their asset and liability in shares to the new company for cash or for the shares. Best example over here is Hindustan Computers Limited, Hindustan Instruments Limited, Indian Software Limited, and Indian Reprographics Limited. They all merged together into a new entity which is known as HCL Limited. So this is also a beautiful example of merger through consolidation. Now let us look at the different ways a merger can be classified. They can be broadly classified into horizontal, vertical, cogeneric, co-centric, conglomerate, accretive, and dilutive. So these are the different ways a merger could be classified. Let's look at each one of them one by one. The first one, the horizontal merger. A horizontal merger involves combining of two companies that are in direct competition with one another. This could usually share the same product lines in the market. This kind of merger substantially reduces the number of competitors in the market and gives a higher edge over competition. The best example of a horizontal merger is HDFC Bank and Century Bank of Punjab, which merged to create a larger bank. So a beautiful way of establishing its strength in the market and reducing the number of competitors in the market, giving a higher edge over competition. Large horizontal mergers are often perceived as anti-competitive, as it would result in creation of monopolies and give the new company an unfair market advantage over its competitors. When two extremely small companies combine or horizontally merge, the result of the merger are less noticeable. So special attention is paid when large horizontal mergers are made to ensure whether monopoly is created or not, so that monopoly is not preferred in a competitive market. Next type of merger is a vertical merger. A vertical merger is one in which a firm or a company combines with a supplier or a distributor. Vertical mergers are mergers of non-competing companies. One product company's product complements the other's product. The main aim of vertical merger is to reduce or eliminate cost of seeking vendor, advertising, transportation, etc. It offers efficiency benefits and lower transaction costs. This leads to improvement in service efficiency in production and the final product. So vertical merger specific action point is coming together of a firm or a company with a supplier or a distributor. So what is the reason for this? It helps them to reduce or eliminate costs and other expenses, and it benefits in efficiency and lower transaction costs, improvement in efficiency in production and in the final product. So based on the requirement, the companies could come together, whether it's horizontal or for a vertical merger. When two or more companies in the same industry but in different fields come together in business, could also be called as a vertical merger. The companies in merger decide to combine all their operations, including production, under one shelter. For example, a car manufacturer buying a tire company, a textile company merging with a cotton yarn manufacturer, a cricket bat company merging with a wood production company. So these are all beautiful examples of vertical merger. eBay, a platform that permits people to sell items, merged with PayPal, a platform that allows buyer to pay for the items. So payment system with a sort of merchant side, a beautiful combination to growing the business and providing conveniences to the buyer. There are several forms of vertical merger: the market extension merger, the product extension merger. What exactly is a market extension merger? In a market extension merger, the merger between two companies that sell the same products but in different markets allows for the market that can be reached to become larger. The best example, a merger of ICICI Lombard with the Bharti AXA General Insurance. Market extension merger. The next type of merger could be a product extension merger. In a product extension merger, a merger happens between two companies that sell different but somewhat related products in a common market. It allows the new large company to pool their products, increase the type, the range of products, and sell them with greater success to the already common market. So these are two specific forms of a vertical merger. Next forms of vertical merger can be a forward integration, a backward integration, and a balance integration. Let us see what happens in each one of them. In a forward integration, the target market firm is involved in the next stage of production. For example, supplier of raw materials merges his firm with the firm that procures the raw material. A backward integration, exactly opposite, the target company is involved in the previous stage of production. Example, a manufacturer of product would merge his firm with the provider of raw materials. A balance integration. In a balance integration, the company sets up subsidiaries that supplies them with inputs and distributes their outputs. So these are the different types of vertical mergers. Now let us look at another form of merger, which is co-generic merger. What is a co-generic merger? A co-generic merger is when two or more companies in association are some way or the other related to the production process, business markets, or basic required technologies. It includes the extension of the product line or acquiring components that are required in the daily operations. It offers opportunities to the businesses as it opens a new gateway to diversify around a common set of resources and the strategic requirements. The merger between Thomas Cook India Limited and Sterling Holiday Resorts India Limited is a best example of a co-generic merger, as both the companies were involved in the tourism industry, where the customer bases and the process chains were unrelated. Let us look at another type of merger, which is concentric merger. What is a concentric merger? A concentric merger occurs between two companies with similar audiences in the same industry but different products. The type of merger happens between companies with complementary products. Best example of this would be if a printer company merges with a company that sells ink cartridges. Another example could be a cell phone firm merging with a cell phone case company could be a best example of a concentric merger. The next type of merger is a conglomerate merger. A conglomerate is a corporation that is made up of different seemingly unrelated businesses. One company owns a controlling stake in a number of small companies which conduct business separately. Conglomerate mergers happen between firms that plan to increase their product lines. Each of the conglomerate subsidiary businesses run independently of the other business divisions, but the subsidiaries' managements report to a senior management at the parent company. The best example of a conglomerate could be a Tata Group. It is a diverse industry such as the steel, chemicals, motors, hospitality, telecommunications, power generation, electronic retail, etc. We have some more conglomerates in India also. There could be two type of conglomerate mergers. Number one is a pure conglomerate merger. Number two is a mixed conglomerate merger. What happens in a pure conglomerate merger? Pure conglomerate merger involves the firms that have nothing in common. Example, W.R. Grace, a chemical business that acquired 150 different companies. Mixed conglomerate mergers. These mergers involve firms that merge to increase the product lines or the geographic market extension. Best example, Walt Disney Company acquiring the American Broadcasting Company. Mergers are also classified as the financial conglomerates and the managerial conglomerates. What is the financial conglomerate? These companies are involved in providing funds to every part of operations and in exercising control. They are essentially risk takers. Who are the managerial conglomerates? They focus on the providing managerial counseling and interactions, and they also help them on decision making with the intent of increasing the potential or improving performance. The third type of merger could be also a concentric companies merger. There is a carryover of specific management function, or the strengths in the management functions of two firms are complementary. So basis on what the intention behind the merger is, we can name different types of mergers. We also have something called as the accretive merger. Accretive merger refers to the natural growth in size or extent by gradual external addition. This type of merger occurs when a company with a high price to earning ratio purchases a company with a low PE ratio. As a consequence of this type of merger, the earnings per share of the acquiring company increases. So a special arrangement between a company having high PE with a company having a low PE is seen in an accretive merger. There is another merger, which is a dilutive merger. A dilutive merger is one where the earnings per share of the acquiring company falls after the merger. As a consequence, the share price of the acquiring company also falls as the market expects a fall in the company's future earnings. This occurs when the price earning ratio of the acquiring firm is less than that of the target firm. Now let us look at the final topic of this chapter, that is merger differentiation. Mergers are also distinguished by the manner they are financed. Each has certain implications for the companies involved as well as for the investors. The first type is a purchase mergers. In a purchase merger, merger occurs when one company purchases another company. The purchase is made with cash or through the use of some kind of debt instruments. The sale is taxable. Acquiring companies often prefer this type of merger because it can provide them with a tax benefit. The second type of differentiation could be on the basis of the consolidation. In a consolidation merger, a brand new company is formed and both companies are bought and combined under the new entity. The tax terms are the same as those of a purchase merger. So friends, we have reached a conclusion of chapter 1. Merger is a combination of two or more firms into one of the firm. There can be several forms of mergers. Mergers benefit may result from economies of scale, economies of vertical integration, increased efficiency, tax shields, or share resources. Mergers and acquisitions have become universal corporate for securing survival, growth, expansion, and globalization of the enterprises. So thank you, friends. With this, we have laid a beautiful foundation in chapter 1 for understanding the basic concepts of merger, the different ways a merger could be classified, the different phases of merger across the globe, as well as the development of mergers in India. So this will pave our way to understand more details about mergers and acquisitions in the coming chapters. Thank you.